Good evening, college basketball fans, or good morning, depending on when you're watching this. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our Under the Radar podcast. I'm your host over here, Chad Sherwood.
Yes.
Over there, we got David Griggs. And from Bracketeer.org, fresh back from Ryder and Drake, we got Rocco Miller. Rocco, how you doing? Want to give us a Drake Ryder report before we do anything else?
Sure, Chad. Doing great. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be on. Yeah, quick report. Game was close for the first half. I was intrigued to see this game because Ryder picked to win the MAC before the year, trying to figure out what's going on with them. They haven't beaten anybody of note all season, and they've barely played any games. I think this was their eighth game. But they've had a rigorous travel schedule the last few days to try to squeeze in five games in 8 days. So second half, the legs, you can see they ran out of gas there, and Drake was pretty hot from outside. They shot 45% from three. Drake ended up winning that one by 16.
All right. Well, we'll talk about a little bit more Missouri Valley Metro Atlantic in a minute. This is our Under the Radar, though. David, do you want to clue everybody in on what it means to be under the radar?
Yeah, it means you're not on the radar.
Okay, nice.
Okay. More specifically, it means essentially you're in a regular one-bid league. Again, not always. There's no rule that says these conferences can't get more than one. They typically only get one. So we're talking about the 10 multi-bid leagues would be the Power Five, which is the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, and most years the Pac-12, and along with the other regular multi-bid leagues, which is the A-10, the Big East, the Mountain West, the West Coast, and the American.
Yeah.
The other disqualifier, I always forget this each week, is that you can't be ranked in the top 25. Furman and Buffalo are in under the radar conferences, but we won't be discussing them, at least not directly, because if you're in the top 25, you're pretty much on the damn radar.
Exactly. And we like to start off with a feature conference each week. If I figured this week we'd start with a conference that, although it does have one team that technically is in the top 25 and is ineligible, this is a conference that certainly looks this year like it's probably on its way to a single bid. Really just a, one of the weakest conferences out there. Sometimes we like feature conferences that are doing things good. I thought we'd start with a garbage conference that is just not
way to go, Chad.
Anything
so let's it. Just start off bad.
And there it is.
Just in case you were wondering if this show was worth watching, Chad is starting us off with the Pac-12.
Exactly.
I think Chad's been waiting for me to join so he could rub this in my face a little bit.
The Pac-12, obviously not technically under the radar, but just pathetic. Santa Clara, USC last night. Let's go to the actual conference we're going to start off with.
Chad, what the hell is wrong
on the screen?
This is what happens when you're live on tape delay. Like, things just kind of go wrong, but it's live.
So even my spreadsheet
knows. But how about starting with the Big West Conference? Fresh off a nice road win tonight at Eastern Michigan for UC Irvine. Rocco, you're a West Coast guy. How about this Irvine team? Exactly how good are they?
I thought they had a really nice roster coming into the season. I haven't had the opportunity to see them play a complete game, just little bits and pieces throughout the season this far. But I think it's really impressive when you look at what they've done, 5 wins away from home. In fact, I think I heard that they've won 10 straight away from home now.
10 straight away from home. Their next one is at Butler, as you see up there on the
Friday.
Right side. We're looking at their transcript. But there was one game that I saw in particular that really had me holding my nose, and that was the home blowout to Utah State. But a lot of things are in play there. It's the worst they've played all year. Utah State also pretty good. I think you have to give them credit without shaming Irvine too much. But when you look at what this team has done away from home, even a win at a place like Cal Baptist done pretty well at home this year.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think if they, they're probably a little bit of a long shot to pull off the 11th straight win at Butler Friday. But they've been playing well, and Butler is still – trying to understand how good they're going to be. I'm just curious if they do win that. I don't expect UC Irvine to run the table or anything, but maybe if they have a 1 or 2 loss year in the Big West, could they potentially be in the bubble talk by the end of the year, just with some of the other wins they have?
Potentially, yeah. I think that if they do all that, like if they blow through the Big West, then they would at least be in the discussion. Now, I don't think they're in on the first ballot, but I think they're definitely in the discussion. This other team here, Santa Barbara, that Chad pulled up, one of the things that the committee kind of doesn't give a whole lot of credit for is these tier four wins or quad four wins. That could be problematic for Santa Barbara.
Yes, this is Santa Barbara, nice record, but look at that non-conference strength of schedule, beautiful 327.
There's only 353 teams.
Yeah. Did you guys get the result in that they just lost to Omaha tonight?
Let's see here. I think that was
It's on the team sheet. Yeah.
Yeah, it's on there on the team sheet there on the tier three losses, and there it is. In fact, in the red there. So they did lose to Omaha tonight as well. So that's their third loss overall. The only team with a winning record is Hawaii in this conference, and that's only 4-4 against D1 play. So the rest of the league, that's not going to help Irvine if they are looking for an at-large bid, because any conference loss is going to be a bad loss.
Yeah, and it's going to be it's going to be outside of what normal bad is. It's going to be bad.
Other than maybe the game at Santa Barbara, that might be the only one they can excuse, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, this reminds me of Florida Gulf Coast in recent years trying to talk about them being an at-large in December and then looking at the net and RPI ratings in the past of how bad the rest of the league was, knowing that ultimately they're probably going to lose to one of them and it's over.
Yeah.
Yeah. David, there's the upcoming schedule. You already mentioned the Irvine at Butler game.
They get that one, then yeah, I agree with Rocco that you got to at least look at them. Not that Butler's a solid tournament team, but if they win that one and they blow through this league and only stub their toe once or twice, you're looking at it. But really the only game worth watching, LMU going to Riverside. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, to Riverside.
Yeah.
I don't think that's part of the Rivervine Cup, though.
It's not the Rivervine Cup.
Let's go back to the rest of the leagues through alphabetical order here. We'll start at the America East, which saw a very disappointing home loss tonight for Stony Brook to Hofstra. It's a good Hofstra team. It's a rivalry game, but yeah. Stony Brook had been playing so well, David.
They had, and this is the second time where I've really been big on Stony Brook and talked them up, and I still like them. But, they're road warriors. I mean, if you pull their profile up here, it's almost like they do as well or better on the road as they've done at home. But you would expect them to win that. Hofstra's had a decent year, but it was one of those games, based on what we've seen out of Stony Brook, that you were kind of expecting them to win.
Okay, should be fleshed up here in a second. It takes a moment to load.
And again, the win at Rhodey, the win at South Carolina. I mean, I guess those are more brand name wins than they really are quality wins. But the ones that really had me scratching my head are Brown, who's just, I mean, as good as they are playing. And now you add a home loss to Hofstra to that.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Rock, I was going to ask about the other team I put up on the right-hand side there, which I think may at the end of the day be the best team in this conference. That's Vermont, who it took them a couple overtimes against a pretty lousy St. Bonaventure team, but Anthony Lamb, 42 points in that game, a career high. I think there's some strength here in this team, isn't there?
I think so, yeah. With Lamb back, I mean, even with him alone with a decent supporting cast, they're a threat. When you looked at the schedule at the start of the month, especially even before the season started, the schedule had a road trip to George Mason, who some had winning the Atlantic 10. It had a game against Harvard, a game against Northeastern, and a game against St. Bonaventure. Most people would have been crazy to call that a 4-0 month, and that's where they are. And now a big test coming Friday at Lipscomb, which will be a really, really fun game to watch.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, that is definitely the game. I'll pull up the upcoming schedule here, David. The game in the conference for this upcoming week is this Vermont at Lipscomb game.
Yeah, and the thing that's remarkable about Vermont is that they're this good when they lost so much. This was supposed to be kind of a building year for them, and it's like, how good are they going to be moving forward if they're this good now?
Rocco, are we disappointed in what we've seen out of UMBC, or did you expect them to be weaker after, obviously, what they did last year?
Yeah, I'm a tad bit disappointed, but it's impossible to expect them to be anything unstoppable or anything, because they were an up-and-down team last year. They still got a 16 seed. They didn't have a great regular season, and then they got hot late, which is a lot of what it takes to pull off an upset in the tournament. And now they come back with without Lyles and some of the other key players, that the point guard's gone. So it's going to take them a while to break it in, but I love Coach Odom, and I won't be surprised if they make some noise in the American East tournament, no matter what they're doing right now.
The other half of that Vermont Lipscomb game is Lipscomb. So let's take a quick look at the Atlantic Sun Conference. David, I mean, I think we've really moved off where we were last year with last week with Lipscomb, Liberty, and JIT up there at the top of the league.
Right. Liberty, good effort the other night, not getting the win out at Alabama. Right. Again, nothing really much, but I still really like this Lipscomb team. You got to keep in mind that their losses are at Louisville in a game where they were right in there, and then the two losses to Belmont, they were right in both those games. So really, like, of their three games, they're 8-3, they're 8-3 overall, 6-3 against Division I, and their three losses, with 39 out of the 40 minutes, they were right in all three of those games. So I like them. And then in JIT, I know that their strength of schedule isn't in the same universe as Lipscomb, but wow, like a 10-2 start against D1 competition.
Yeah, still getting that one vote in the top 25, Paul, every second straight week. I think that's Feinstein that's voting them there, actually. But
yeah.
The two losses, Cornell at home, at Lowell, bad losses.
Yeah, I mean,
and no good wins, but it's an
impressive I mean, it's cool that they're getting that vote, but God, you're out of your mind.
Kind of over their heads coming up this week at Houston, too. A little bit out of their league. That's next week, actually.
But. Right. If they win both of those, then okay, let's start voting for them. But
Rocco, the upcoming schedule here in the A-Sun should be flashed up on the screen on the right-hand side there. Not much this week. Not much in terms of volume of games, obviously, with the holidays coming up.
Right. It's back to that Vermont-Lipscomb game is definitely the feature game. And then Gulf Coast is definitely down this year. They don't look like a Gulf Coast team we've seen before. I heard that the Marquette transfer, Cheatham, who was going to be one of their best players this year, is now done for the year. It should be nothing more than a cakewalk for the Gators.
Still haven't figured out how that Gulf Coast team beat South Dakota State, but
yeah, one of the things to pay attention to, VMI, really, really bad team, is North Alabama going to get their first win against a D1 team as a D1 team?
I'll say yes.
I think they can, yeah.
That's a road test. You never know. And VMI actually gave Kentucky a game for a half this year. So
true. Okay.
It could be Toys for Tots night, and if that's the case, North Alabama's in trouble.
Big Sky Conference, Rocco. We have Northern Colorado, who is our front range champion this year, but they had a rough 0-2 week against a couple of good teams, but still 0-2.
Yeah, I don't know if Rocco's aware of how we arrived at that, but they are the front range champion.
So did you arrive at that by them beating Johnson and Wales by chance?
Tell you what, let's pull up their profile here. That missed last week's show, including Rocco. They won every game against any team from the states of Colorado or Wyoming that they played this year. They got none left. That makes them champion.
Colorado College as well, which is a dominant hockey program. So
right, yeah.
So. The law firm of Johnson and Wales, along with Denver and Wyoming, both on the road for those two. That's a champion.
Right. That's how we got there.
Now losses this week.
They definitely earned it. And now they're going to Vegas to face the team I just saw, Ryder. So I think that'd be a pretty good matchup. Not knowing how long it's gonna take Ryder to get rolling. And Northern Colorado, I think, is a solid. A solid Big Sky team. When they went to San Diego and Texas Tech, they were very much outclassed. New Mexico State, they hung a little bit tougher, but they're taking care of the front range and they got a nice win over Pepperdine so far. So
yeah.
I think they're decent Big Sky wise. The team in this conference, I was thinking was head and shoulders above the rest is Montana. I'm a little surprised on how they've struggled recently, losing to UC Irvine and then really struggling with a bad North Dakota State team last week.
Yeah,
and struggled and got blown out by a bad Arizona team tonight.
Yeah, so there you go. Exactly. I mean, Arizona's been pretty bad the last few times out. So Montana's going through some issues. I think there's a few teams that could come up and compete.
Yeah, Montana is going through some issues. Those issues are what I could refer to as not playing well. Northern Colorado, the front range on hiatus. We want it back. Dozens of people want it back. The Big Five went on hiatus for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken. It's back. the Front Range will be back, and we will keep its memory alive here.
Until coming up Saturday, though, Montana at South Dakota State. That is a big game. It is also the final game, I believe, of the Big Sky Summit League Challenge Series, which the Summit League is currently up 4-3 on. So keep an eye on that game there.
Chad, you might be the only person on earth that knew that.
Hey,
thank you for sharing.
Welcome to Under the Radar, David. You're welcome.
Yes.
You've got to know your challenge series.
Yeah, you got to know your challenge.
That says a lot about the WAC, and we're not on the WAC yet, but the WAC dominated the summit in the WAC Summit Series.
Yep.
All right, let's go Big South here, Rocco.
What challenge are they in, Chad?
The Big South is in the Radford Can't Win Games Challenge Series here. Losses to Clemson and Greensboro this week, Rocco.
Is this the Buies Creek Challenge?
Sure.
Yeah, Radford, they're on a four-game skid now after beating Texas. And, you know, I think they're still a strong team. I think they've proved that. But that daunting schedule, if you look from November 30th till yesterday, they had five straight road games against Texas, JMU, Ohio, Clemson, and Greensboro. Texas, Clemson, Greensboro, obviously big names at this point in college hoops. But the James Madison, Ohio teams are lesser-known teams that are much improved this year. So all five of those games were tough. And for them to get the Texas win out of all five, I think they can still live with. And I still think they're the favorite.
Well, they played Georgia Southern this week, their first home game since November 26th when they beat Glenville State, and only their second D1 home game of the entire season. So should be nice of them to get back home at least.
Yeah. Georgia Southern, not a bad team either. I like this Radford team by Big South standards. I mean, as far as them being inside the bubble, like it looked, I mean, obviously when you win a game like that against Texas, those are the kinds of questions that start rolling around. They don't have that, but I do think that they're still, despite their skid, it was against pretty tough competition, as Rocco pointed out, and I still think they're one of the better teams in this league.
Well, what about Gardner Webb? Pulled off the upset at Georgia Tech Monday night and followed it up with a huge win against Brevard tonight, 106-29. Look at that score.
Well, they had to add that Brevard win to the Johnson & Wales North Carolina win and the Bob Jones win. and then they might as well throw in a road win with Georgia Tech because that's just the perfect quartet.
Another thing about Gardner Webb that I don't think many people remember, but this is under the radar, lost at Furman, nationally ranked Furman, in overtime.
Yes. And I'm sorry. That wasn't the game where all the three-pointers were made. That was the other Furman game.
Yeah.
Here's the upcoming schedule, though, David. In the Big South there, we see we already mentioned that Georgia Southern Radford game. Looks like Gardner Webb has the week off. But there's another Johnson & Wales team at Charleston Southern.
Johnson & Wales joining the Big South. I mean, we
got about five Johnson & Wales nationwide here now at this point.
I think.
We need to have the Johnson & Wales Cup.
We need to call someone from their
from their law firm.
Yeah, from their law firm.
Let's go with Colonial, where we already mentioned the fact, though, earlier tonight, Hofstra with a nice win at Stony Brook, and also College of Charleston with a couple nice wins, including at VCU.
David, love the C of C team, their College of Charleston and Hofstra as well. Like I hadn't been watching them that closely, but they've got my attention now. And I know that they were at home, but still, like 9-3 overall, a pretty good profile.
They were on the road tonight.
Really at Stony Brook. Bad schedule. Oh yeah, getting the win at Stony Brook. Thank you. I'm all confused. Let's go back and edit that. We're live on TV.
I think you guys are sugarcoating a very disappointing year so far in the Colonial. This is typically at least a top 15 league. I still think of them as almost a top 10. I think 2 years ago they were ninth best league. And right now they're sitting at 18th. They've got teams like Delaware losing their rivalry game to Delaware State tonight.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Towson and Elon are pretty pathetic right now.
Wilmington's been awful.
Wilmington's been awful. Drexel's been very bad. Fortunately, James Madison, but they're barely above, probably right around the 200 line. And so there's only, Northeastern's been playing pretty poorly for their standards right now, too. I think they're dealing with a few injuries. So I think besides Charleston and Hofstra, there's not a lot of good stories unless you want to throw James Madison in there.
I'm not sure I'm ready to throw James Madison in there. No, I think you're right.
There's two good teams and eight garbage ones, so.
Yeah,
so far, but I think if Northeastern gets healthy, they're dangerous.
The upcoming schedule there, Charleston is actually hosting Coastal Carolina, Drexel Temple, a Big Five or semi-Big Five matchup at least.
Yeah. City Six.
There we go. All right. Yeah. Let's go to Conference USA, where I have another team. You know, we've talked some Western Kentucky. We've talked some we've talked some Marshall. We've talked some North Texas. But what about this Old Dominion team here?
Off it's of time that win at Syracuse.
I think they're time to get serious. Nice win at road win at Richmond tonight. Not a nice win, but a road win at Richmond.
Well, yeah, they got the road win at Richmond, but they've got so much more than that. The win at Syracuse and the win at home against VCU. We typically think of both of those teams being tournament teams. Old Dominion beating both of them.
Yeah, Rocco, the only bad thing is the Northern Iowa loss, which is part of one of their exempt tournament, I believe, that they were in. But
yeah, at least it's a neutral court loss. And Northern Iowa has played pretty poorly lately, but they got revenge for it at least. They played them again at home 4 days later and beat them. And since then, they've won six more in a row, so seven in a row total now. The two road games have legitimized the quality of team they are, at least to this point. And now, I mean, they've just got to tune up with Morgan State until they hit Conference USA. So, I think we're done seeing what they're going to be able to do out of the league overall, but they're in prime position to go for that top four spot that is going to be key for the Conference USA race.
Right. And did David also, the right there?
North Texas. Yeah. A couple thoughts on them. I think that they're pretty good. I think that they're better than what we were expecting, and I think they were better than what they were expecting. And had they known they were going to be this good, they may have tried to schedule a top 300 schedule.
Well, they got Pavlov coming out. That's top 300.
Yeah.
So I like the North Texas team a lot. I'm really high on Grant McCaslin as a coach. The Roosevelt Smart's a great player. Woolridge, great player. But they've had some – for an 11-1 team, they've had some schizophrenic results. Like going to overtime at home against Maine was a head-scratcher. Barely beating UT Arlington, who's in a rebuilding mode right now. There's been some games where I expected them to dominate, and they haven't. Barely beat Portland, who's by far the worst team in the West Coast. So I think they've got some maturing to do, but at least they're growing through wins, and I think that's a luxury that they have and other teams don't.
And we saw this a few years ago, although I don't think North Texas is going to be this exaggerated, when a Murray State team that we knew was going to be good coming into the year, and to be fair to North Texas, we didn't think they would be, scheduled atrociously. And at the end of the year, I think they had 28, 29 wins, whatever it was, and 25 of them were against sub-200 teams. Mm-hmm. You just can't do anything with a team like that. So as many games as North Texas may win, one of them better be that last one.
That's right.
Yeah. A couple other teams worth mentioning, at least Louisiana Tech, a nice road win at their rivals Louisiana there.
Been on kind of a roll here. We were big on them after their win at Wichita State, and then they played well at LSU. They kind of dropped a couple games, and we kind of wrote them off, and I did, but they haven't lost since. I mean, they've been looking really good.
I think the Delaware loss was just coming off of a tough travel swing, and they only had a one-day break to prepare. But they played some really quality ball, and when they won at the Cajuns by 21 last week, I thought that was a pretty impressive result. That's a tough place to win, especially by a large margin.
Yeah, I like this La Tech team. Is their profile going to indicate how good they are?
No.
Yeah. The Delaware loss does hurt a lot. That's pretty ugly. But I think we've got to talk about the bottom of Conference USA briefly here, and that's the team on the left, Western Kentucky. I mean – I don't know what's – I mean, I cannot figure out that home loss to Troy still. I'm still scratching my head. And, I mean, they played well against Belmont. They actually were down big tonight at Belmont.
Yeah.
Came back late but did not come back all the way, and Belmont got that win. I don't fault it for the Belmont loss, but that Troy loss, Rocco, I'm ready to throw this team away.
So the Troy loss, I didn't get a chance to watch it, but right before that game they had – Deshaun Murray leave the program, and he was a starter for the first five or six games. And, so there might have been some internal issues going on and maybe not 100% focus for Troy, and they came up and bit them. And, you know, they've got that loss to Missouri State too and Indiana State, but then you got wins at Arkansas and West Virginia. So, I think when they're together and they're focused, they're going to be a real tough team to beat. It's just – I think they're going through some tough times a little bit internally and trying to get things straightened out there, from what I can tell.
Yeah, I mean, they better turn it around soon, because at this point, I think they got to win the conference tournament to get in the NCAA plays, and they better find a way to get a high seed in that conference tournament.
It's probably a one-bid league across the board. Old Dominion might have a tiny bit of hope, but I think there's going to be too much of teams beating each other up throughout the year in the league.
Probably so, yeah.
Yeah, not much of note coming up this week. St. Mary's at Western Kentucky, maybe the highlight game of the week, and it's not really that great.
Can I mention something real quick here that we didn't really get to in the Hoops HD report? I don't know if you saw it. It was, I believe, the fourth game of a three-game series between Auburn and UAB, and it's my understanding that the intention is to renew it. But they ended up playing in downtown Birmingham, not on UAB's campus, and splitting the tickets. And it was one of those rare events where it was what the NCAA tournament used to look like before corporates and suits got all the tickets. Split arena, one side yelling for one team, the other side yelling for another. Really exciting game, went in the overtime, and I just thought that it was a cool event. I hope that for UAB's sake that Auburn wants to keep it going. They say that they do, and forget playing on campus, just play it at the downtown arena every year. What a game.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Let's jump over to the Horizon League here. Rocco, here's another one-bid league at this point. We continue to be disappointed in Wright State. And, I guess Northern Kentucky won this week, but still, I don't know.
I'm with you. I'm disappointed in Wright State. I saw them beat Toledo, and that's still Toledo's only loss. And I'm like, okay, this is definitely a team. And they might still be one of the favorites because the league's so down, but – I'm shocked they've lost some of the games they've lost since then. I've been a little bit high on Green Bay and Ooey-Pooey as sleeper teams, but pretty much unreliable. I think we have another crapshoot coming in Detroit in March.
Yeah, the teams I'm disappointed in here, if you're looking at the screen watching this, you see how Chad has everything's in columns, the D1, the net. You'll notice the team column, and you'll notice a list of teams under that column. I am disappointed in those teams.
I don't know. Youngstown State with 4 wins overall. I'm kind of proud of what they've done so far this year.
You know, 2-9 against D1, a net outside the top 300.
They played well against Ohio State last night. Yeah. Actually, we're in the game for a while there. But upcoming schedule there, again, not much to really circle here. The Oakland-Michigan State game has been going on for a couple of years, several years now. It's always, it seems to be a fun game a lot, but I don't think it will be this year. I think it'll be a blue.
We were really big on Wright State coming into the year, and that game against Mississippi State would have been a chance for them to get a high-caliber win. But even if they get it, I mean, there's just too much ground to make up. It's a one-bidder.
Let's go over to the Ivy League, and let's ask that one-bid question. Rock, I want to ask it to you. Is there a chance we could have a two-bid Ivy League for the first time ever should Penn continue to play the way they're playing but not get the auto bid?
Just taking a look at what Penn's done, the win over Villanova was big. They're going to, of course, now become giant Villanova fans the rest of the year to be a strong team. From the results Villanova's put up, that could end up just looking like a bubble win at the end for all we know right now. So the jury's out, but we don't know how good Miami is. I mean, they might not be very good either. So, but just for the sake of conversation, they certainly are in the talk right now. And the only two losses are on neutral court, Kansas State, probably looking like a bubble team as well. And then the Beavers are praying to be on the bubble. So not awful, but I don't know that you can just say for sure, because both the Miami and Villanova wins were on their home court, and what the committee wants for at-large bids are teams that can show they do it away from home, and they haven't exactly done that.
If you look at their schedule here, Rocco, and I realize that you try and guess the committee, which is Tytel does that for us, but he's not here. If you look at these games at Toledo, Toledo's going to have a bloated home record. They might only lose one or two at home all year. And at Temple, you figure if they get both of those, even though if those aren't teams that are inside the bubble or teams that are solidly in on the first ballot, just the fact that they went on the road and won a game that was really hard to win, doesn't the committee have to give them credit for that? And yeah, don't you have to look at them as an at-large if they get both of those?
If they get both, you certainly got to look at them. I think even if they split those, they'd probably still be looked at. But, I'm with you there. I think they become a much more realistic contender if they do that. They also need to run the table almost run the table in the Ivy. I don't think that'll be an easy task because I do think Harvard and Yale are pretty competitive. And Cornell's just kind of maybe a sleeper team. But anyway, I think they can be in the conversation, and we should certainly talk about them now because we have the chance to.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here, David. Here's the upcoming schedule in the Ivy League. Penn is at New Mexico, Yale at Monmouth, GW at Harvard, Columbia at Rutgers. Let's just go on to the Metro Atlantic and David, I'll give you about 3 seconds to talk about this conference because that's all it really probably deserves.
Yeah, well, Rider, despite what happened tonight, probably one of the better teams. The reason they're one of the better teams is because there's nobody else that's any good.
Yeah, Rocco, look at all that red over there for all those losses. It's
Oh, this is bad. It's hard to swallow. I love this league.
I do too. I still love the league.
Yeah. Well, you know what I noticed about Ryder tonight, not to give them all the love today, but what I saw was a team, you know, they brought their 6 top guys and all 5 starters from last year who, won the MAC regular season. And the MAC's a very physical league, less relying on jump shooting, a lot of guys that drive and dish and tough, you know, almost like a rugged poor man's Big East. And I can tell Ryder really struggled with the outside shooting of Drake today. And they Washington State brings to the table is 3-point shooting as well. But I think when they get into MAC play, they're not going to have as many threats for that. So I still think Ryder's built to, at least from a roster perspective, to win a MAC championship.
And this is something to look at here because they've been a team that's been in the national consciousness for the – about 2 or 3 years prior to now, and deservedly so. I still think that it was, I think, the year before last where Monmouth was snubbed by the committee. 0-11, but not just 0-11, like in the bottom 10 in virtually every metric. Has happened? I mean, it's one thing to go through the be at the bottom of your talent cycle. This is just way, way, way below.
Not only in the 300s, but in the 340s and 350s in these.
Yeah. Metrics.
That's, wow.
And I thought Monmouth was to a point to where their down years would not be this down. Like they would be in the middle of the league about.
I agree. It's pretty shocking.
Yeah.
There's the upcoming schedule. I mentioned that Ryder has Northern Colorado out in Vegas on Saturday. And then I think they get a game Sunday. I'm not certain who their matchup would be, but...
I'm forgetting now too. I had it a second ago.
we'll talk about Metro Atlantic a little more seriously when we get to conference play. Let's go to a lot better of a conference here, better conference in the Mid-American. Not only do we have this nationally ranked Buffalo team, but we've got a Toledo team sitting here at 11-1, a Kent State team at 8-2, a Central Michigan 9-2, a lot of good teams here, David.
Yeah, Central Michigan, I think they're a little bit of a mirage, although still very good. I'll say this for Kent State. They're good. I thought they would put up more of a fight at Louisville than what they did. Louisville just drubbed them. But still, this league and what's waiting for Buffalo, I think everybody's just making the assumption that Buffalo's going to blow through this. I think they'll win it, but I would not be shocked at all if they lose 2 or 3 games. If you look at Kent State and like Kent State, Toledo, and I want to say Akron, they're a combined 17-1 at home or something like that.
Yeah, there's the Kent State profile losses, only Louisville and Liberty loss.
Real nice win at Vandy.
Only one loss. There's tier one and two wins there, Rocco. And Rogan. Yeah,
I like the fact that these teams are playing so well. I agree with what David said in regards to Buffalo and probably people nationally expecting them to blow through this league. There's no chance that's going to happen. There's a lot of tough road trips in this league, a lot of tough travel trips during the school year. So they're going to have a couple tough tests. They probably, I would imagine at least drop one. I'd be very impressed if they could run the table. I'm expecting them to lose somewhere. The thing I also like about this league too is that you go off 1 down to 12. I'm just going off KenPom for the time being because Predictive, I think, has a little bit more weight right now than Net because the results are not mature yet. And if you look at that, the lowest ranked team is 207 at Western Michigan. Everybody else is inside of 198, and you've got three in the top 100. Just from a under the radar standpoint, that's a pretty balanced league across the board, and you're not going to have, again, like David said, any layups through the league. Everybody's going to be dangerous.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a look at the upcoming schedule here. Rocco, here's the upcoming games in the Mid-American for this this week. Of course, the Buffalo Marquette game is the marquee game, although not technically under the radar. What about Akron and Nevada? Does Nevada need to be on watch here?
Well, you know, a little bit, because Nevada does kind of like to mess around in the first half. If you've been watching their games, they seem to mess around until about, you know, the 15-minute mark of the second half, then they turn it on and make sure they win. So I think it'll be probably similar to that. But, yeah, Akron looks really good early on, and I think they're good enough to give them a little bit of a test. Can't see them winning it, though.
Yeah, I think they're a little bit overmatched, but Purdue has been disappointing this year. Ohio has not been. I don't think they're going to go there and win, but Purdue better not overlook them.
I agree with you on that one. Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, we got a couple. We have, I guess, the only thing of note that happened this week was Delaware State's win tonight over Delaware. You know, so congratulations. That was our Centenary Award winner last year for the worst team in D1. They have three overall wins, one D1 win now. I don't think they're going to win the award this year. I think they're going to move up.
Yeah, and we've got the fastest team in the land.
Yes,
your team.
Savannah State.
The people's team. Oh, boy, it's been a rough ride. Okay. But they're making that money. They put 60 up on Wisconsin. How about that?
They are at Tennessee Tech coming up here on Thursday night.
Winnable game. That is the game of the week in this conference.
And then at Iowa on Saturday.
Not a winnable game.
Not a winnable game. Howard got to close an overall winning record if you include non-D1 plays Ball State on Thursday, maybe. And then they host Hampton on Saturday in an ex-MEAC rivalry game there.
Oh, my God. This is pretty remarkable. We've got one team in the top 250 of the net. That is,
that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Yeah. I mean, in Kempon, they're only 293, so we'll
take it.
Let's go from one lousy conference to another. Rocco, you just came from a Drake game. They did get a win, but this conference still continues to disappoint, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a disappointing year. And it is another one that hurts a little just because I love this league. Big motivation for me to come out here and see some of these schools. Got to see SIU earlier this year, hopefully to see the rest over time. But I like a couple things to note over the last week. I was very impressed with all of a sudden the improvement of Evansville. They took Murray State down to the final shot of the game that John Morant had to hit to beat them.
Yeah.
And then they did beat a tough Ball State team the week before. And, you know, it's first-year coach Walter McCarty. We all know he's a local Evansville guy. I think over time that they're going to build that program and maybe improve sooner than we thought if they're good enough to hang with Murray State on the road like that. And this Drake story developing here, they're 8-2. They don't have any huge wins yet. They beat Boise State. They beat Texas State. They got the Rider win tonight. But the thing they do really well is move the ball. I think they're one of the leading teams in the country in assists. They had another 18 assists tonight.
Wow.
Nick Norton, who's a UAB transfer, who's got just a beautiful shot. A great freshman in DJ Wilkins, who I was extremely impressed with. And then the big guy, Nick McGlynn, is a veteran senior, their only returning starter. So they could give teams a lot of problems. They're just not a very big team, but this league's up for grabs, so why not Drake?
Well, they're a good story, and it's a good thing because there are no other good stories at all in this league. It's just teams like Loyola, Southern Illinois, underperforming, and what the hell happened to Northern Iowa? you know, in recent years. But Drake, here they are having a way better than average year for them, and they've looked better than anybody else. I know their schedule's weak, but nobody else has really played a schedule that was particularly tough. And some of the games that these teams have lost have been the teams that are no better than anybody that Drake's played.
Drake with a huge game coming up Saturday against Mexico State. Circle that one. That's also part. I think that's the other Vegas bracket, not the same one that we were discussing before. There's two separate brackets out there, but
yeah, and they'll get the winner of that one will get the University of San Diego winner against Wazoo.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
they'll get the winner of that one will get San Diego. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's correct.
Let's move on to where do we go next? How about the Northeast Conference? Is there anything worth discussing in this league at all?
I just can't wait for conference play to start in the Northeast. Until then, not really. Although St. Francis Brooklyn still with a 500 record against D1. It's rare that you see a team enter conference play with a 500 or better record. But, man, when it starts in conference, it is fun.
Yeah, they were kind of a no-show tonight against St. John's, though.
Yeah. What happened there? I was kind of expecting a little fight because St. John's has messed around with
that game was over about 5 minutes into the game, quite honestly.
Yeah, just no showed. And again, Johnny's playing a lot of New York based teams this year.
They've got a home. Brooklyn's got a home game against Manhattan, a very lousy Manhattan team coming up on Sunday. So I think they can pick up that win there at least.
Mm-hmm. And St. John's gets Sacred Heart. That's great.
There you go. I don't think St. John's going to have much trouble with them either. OVC time.
Okay.
And now we're talking about two of the best under-the-radar teams in the country, both in the same league with each other. Belmont wins at UCLA this week. Murray State picks up another win. And Belmont followed up with the winning of Western Kentucky tonight. I think we should go to these profiles, David. But what are your thoughts on these two under-the-radar powerhouses here, I think, in the OVC?
They're both really, really good, and no one else in the league but them really is. But Belmont, I know UCLA's kind of been disappointing, and I don't want to overstate how good of a win that was. But, I mean, they went out there and got it. I think they're the only team that's won at UCLA. They're the only team that's won at Lipscomb. They're the only team that's won at Samford. We'll talk about them here in a little bit. Their only loss, a little bit of a head-scratcher to Green Bay, but Green Bay also tough at home so far this year, and that's the only one. And I've been really impressed with Belmont, and not to take anything away from Buffalo or certainly not Furman, but what about Belmont? This is a team that's really gone on the road. They've done it on the road. Look at that road record.
Look at the numbers here. The old RPI, they're 13th in the nation. KPI and JNG, both 16th. They are getting top 25 love here. Not in the 25, but they are getting votes. I agree with you. Rocco?
I agree as well. The resume is building nicely. Obviously, the one black eye in Green Bay. But outside of that, I think, you know, they got a road game at Purdue coming in a week. I think a week from Saturday.
Yeah, that one's going to be real fun.
And you know, but Belmont will probably do their usual thing in the OVC and win almost all their games, maybe lose twice or three times tops. This Murray State team, I think, brings the most sex appeal to a possible NCAA tournament bid, however, with John Morant. If it wasn't for Zion Williamson and probably just Zion, John Morant would be probably need to be must-see TV for regular college basketball viewers. He is incredible to watch. And yes, they have some other nice pieces, but, you know, Belmont more of a complete team, moves the ball well. Rick Bird, systematic coach, and he's got a veteran squad. So it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. It's kind of very contrasting between these two teams, but Belmont definitely in better shape for an at-large.
Well, and the big difference between the two profiles, non-conference strength of schedule for Belmont, 63, yes. Murray, 317. Although Murray at Auburn coming up this week, yes. So that they finally get their first real test here.
Mm-hmm. Yep, besides Bama, yeah.
I think that Auburn's slightly better team than Bama this year.
Correct.
Yeah. there is something on that Murray State profile here real quick, and that's when you mentioned the week schedules.
Yeah.
You'll notice that at the very bottom of that list, there's Spalding University, who, by the way, is 3-7 in whatever division they play in.
Okay.
How's Trevecca Nazarene doing?
I don't know. I didn't look them up.
We got Bethel, Tennessee coming up too for Murray State. So,
well, what are you doing? I mean, Did they not know they were going to be good this year? Jeez.
They're playing at Auburn Saturday. That's the only game to circle for this week in the OVC. Yeah. Let's take a look at the Patriot League. Rocco, let me throw this one over here to you. Not many, only a handful of games played this week. What are you looking at this point in this conference, if anything?
How about Bucknell? Gee.
Yeah, I think, one team that is a little bit surprising is Colgate. I think that I didn't expect much from them, and they've, they won at Florida Gulf Coast, but that obviously proved to not be a big win. But it's a tough place for a team like Colgate to get a win, and they blew them out. And then, they're getting some sizable results when they're winning lately. They've been winning pretty big. They played Penn State decently tough. I don't know how good South Florida is going to be, but, that was a close game. So, anyway, we'll see if Colgate can be the sleeper team.
Well, the other team, I guess, David Bucknell, they did give Ohio State a game. Although we've said that about a few teams ago that have played Ohio State this year. So.
Right, and they went in, they were behind, and they put together a run and went ahead, and then they went ice cold, but they still had a chance to win that one. I was shocked because this isn't the Bucknell team, like you said, that we've seen in the past. So,
all right. Upcoming schedule here in the Patriot League, another fairly late week. I guess, Bucknell at St. Mary's and, cross-country trip, and then they got Rhode Island on Saturday. So
Rhodey's winnable. So,
But let's go right on into the another conference that we do want to spend a few minutes on, and that's the Southern Conference. Even though Furman not technically under the radar, I want to spend a few minutes talking about the team that's on the number two line there, and I'm going to pull their profile up here. I do not remember. I know they had a good year about 4 or 5 years ago where they actually tied for the conference championship regular season. I don't really remember that season even.
I don't even remember that.
But the Citadel Bulldogs continue an amazing season, now 9-2 overall, one at Campbell, which features one of the best scorers of the nation in Chris Clemens. It was a fun, exciting game. I got to watch a lot of that game, actually. Rocco, you going to join me on the Citadel bandwagon yet?
I'm with you.
All right.
I love rooting for these guys. They play hard on defense. It's they're a fun team to watch, and a good story that we mentioned before started at the end of last year, and now it's carried in. And all they have left is Longwood to complete a 10-2 non-conference schedule, which I think if I had told you that during the preseason show, you would have laughed at me.
Yes, very, very hard. But it's kind of like historic. I don't ever recall them playing this well. And I realize that they're not playing
– Not in non-conference.
Not in non-conference, yeah.
Correct, yeah. And, they open up the SoCon at Wofford and at Furman. So, find out if they're for real.
Of their first 7 conference games on the road, too, there. But they're going to get the toughest part of the schedule done. They got the Greensboro
road. Right, and then they're going to kind of – if they can just get a – pick up a few of those, they're going to be running downhill in the second half of conference play.
Yeah.
There's the other – I guess Wofford – after beating a really bad UNC Asheville game on Saturday, did lose. They were in the game tonight against Mississippi State.
But yeah, they had a halftime lead, high-scoring game against Mississippi State. But another team that's having a big year is Samford. I know they didn't beat Tennessee tonight, but they were within single digits for most of the game. So I'm starting to think that this isn't a bad team that's playing over its head on a given night. I think Samford is going to make quite a bit of noise when conference play starts.
And let's not forget UNC Greensboro had that win last night over Radford, a team that we did like the out. So Greensboro beat Radford. Yeah. But I mean, Rocco, is there a chance for multiple bids out of the Southern Conference?
Well, I would have to say yes, a chance. Yeah. Because I mean, Furman is undefeated and they'll get a chance against LSU, the big game on Friday.
But look at these top 100 net ratings. You got four of them, and then a 107 on top of that.
Yeah, so the hope that I have for the league is that they can stay around that range, and we're only a couple weeks left. And then when they actually beat each other in conference, it's going to add quality wins to the resume, which would be unheard of, I think, for SoCon team. Yeah. And so, let's just hope these guys can stay where they're at for a couple more weeks. I know there's some big tests ahead, especially with Furman, but
Unheard of since the days when the SEC broke away from the SoCon, I think.
Right, yeah.
We're going back to the 1920s here. So,
none of us were around for that.
Right, but yeah, a couple big games, really.
Including a conference game there between the two teams that haven't played conference yet, the Greensboro-Samford game.
Right, Saturday. Two really good teams. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And then Furman, of course, at LSU.
Yeah. And Greensboro, you know, if Furman has a decent resume and Greensboro sweeps them and they win this game at Samford and they do a great job in league, they're not, I don't think, completely out of the running for an at-large themselves. Their only losses are at Rupp Arena and at LSU.
Yeah.
And they've got a couple decent wins to play with if La Tech and Radford become tournament teams. So, you know, there's a lot that can develop here.
David, the Southland Conference – let's talk what happened after Baylor went on the road and won at Arizona. They come home and SFA down most of the game, gets them at the buzzer.
Yeah. Baylor's bad. Great win for SFA. And I think it just shows that while they're not as good as we're used to seeing them be, they're still one of the better teams in the conference, and they will be again. And this is a weak league, but Abilene Christian's still a really good story. This is another one. I'm just ready for league play to start.
Yeah, Abilene Christian was a complete no-show against Texas Tech over the weekend, but
they were.
But Rocco, is this the win that catapults SFA back into starting to play like we expected them to?
I think so. And you know, I wanted to do some homework on this one before the show. I haven't got there, but I'll get back to you on that. I do think they had a guy rejoin the roster either from injury or second semester. So I think things are definitely looking up for future state for SFA, and they still get their big home game against Alabama right before New Year's.
All right. Yeah. Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule then here in the Southland for the rest of this week, at least. Mm-hmm. There it is. New Orleans at Pittsburgh. I don't know what to
Howard say. Payne.
Yeah, Howard Payne coming to Lamar.
Mobile at Nichols. Let's go from bad to worse.
Yeah.
From bad to worse, here it is, the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Although we got to give some congratulations here, David. We've had a goal all season to get 10 wins against D1 competition. Thanks to Grambling's win tonight over Southeastern Louisiana and at Portland on Saturday, 2-0 week for them.
Right, and Grambling with three out of conference wins, that's been a minute since they've managed that. So, really, I mean, I don't want to, like, this to sound like a backhanded compliment. I'm impressed with what Grambling's done with their program, and I think they got a shot at winning the league. I think they will win the league.
Yeah. On the other end of the league tonight, we also saw Alabama go A&M, go to South Alabama, lose again to fall to 0-10. And Rocco, let me show what's coming up in the upcoming schedule here. Coming up here Friday night in Atlantic City. I will be there. 0-10 versus 0-10, Alabama A&M and LaSalle. Got a pick for us for that game?
Chad is surprising his wife with tickets. Boy, is she going to be surprised.
We're gonna catch a little bit of the end of the game before that. I think it's,
how could I predict such an evenly contested game like that? But can you explain why they're playing each other in Atlantic City?
It's actually a four-team bracketed event. That there's two games Friday, two games Saturday. Well,
they got the right matchup.
Yeah. So one of these teams is going to win and be in the winner's bracket.
Yeah. And yep, they will be playing for one of these teams will be playing on Saturday for the chance to win a trophy.
Wow. We're going to make that the game. We're spotlighting that one.
Saturday, Grambling at Wisconsin. Can they keep that winning streak up, David?
No.
Okay. Summit League. You know, South Dakota State, I still really like this team. They've had some stumbles. They've had some close losses, the Nevada loss. But, David, are we ready for conference play? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, well, they're the only team that does not completely suck in this league, which is kind of disappointing because why isn't this league better? And a lot of these teams have been good in the past. North Dakota State been in the round of 32, hovered with the bubble. We've seen North Dakota play a little bit better recently. Fort Wayne had some real good teams. Just a bad, bad year for this league.
Yeah, and I'm surprised South Dakota State isn't better than Rocco. I mean, you've got Mike Dahl with 24.7 points and 10 rebounds a game. David Jenkins is averaging over 20 points a game. And they got another guy with over 15 points. There's a lot of offense on this Jackrabbits team.
Yeah, they're the class of the league. I still think they're very strong. I think they're a team many wouldn't want to face in March. I think they proved that in the Nevada game last week. That game was a war down to the wire. And, you know, I think that's really – South Dakota State was not still alive at all for an at-large because they had lost to Tulane and Gulf Coast. So, yeah, I think really that's all they need to prove to themselves going into conference play to get the confidence going. And then they'll probably get that – a little bit more confidence when Montana comes to town this Saturday.
Yeah, they went out to Eastern Washington. That's a bad Eastern Washington team this year. And really struggled in that game. They got the win, but that game was closer than that 10-point margin most of the way.
It was probably tough to get excited in front of the 50 fans there, but yeah.
there's the upcoming games. As you mentioned, the Montana, South Dakota State. And David, you want to predict an upset in Denver at Gonzaga?
No.
Okay.
Let's move on.
I got the Tulsa Oral Roberts. That's a
Cross-city rivalry. Yeah, cross-town rivalry there.
Sunbelt Conference. Got a couple leagues left here. Sunbelt Conference, though. And Texas State continues to win games against garbage competition, but continues to win games.
They do. And again, we're a lot of teams in this league pulling their weight. Georgia State getting it done. They've got some notable wins. Georgia Southern getting it done when they need to.
Nice win against Bradley last night, yeah.
Yeah, nice win. Real nice win against Bradley. So, and then Texas State, although, like you said, they're playing the 327th conference schedule, still getting it done in their games. So, I don't think they're going to be there once conference play starts. Look at that. That is
they have one win outside of Tier 4.
And yeah.
They do head to Arkansas this week, so that should help.
But they make up for it by playing Howard Payne, so.
Yeah.
Howard Payne's on tour. He doesn't want to stop after the
bar. Yeah. Jeez.
I like Georgia State overall. I think they're still probably my favorite at this point. They've got the four losses, but they're all quality teams, considering Montana, Creighton, Liberty, Kansas State. I mean, you can't really knock them too hard for those losses, and they got the big Alabama win. So,
yeah.
Georgia. Yeah.
Upcoming schedule, I guess we already mentioned earlier about that Georgia Southern Radford game, definitely a game to circle here coming up on Friday. Last conference, last but not least, is the Western Athletic Conference, and Rocco, the New Mexico State, very impressive this week in a pair of blowouts. Well, maybe not a complete blowout, but beating a pretty good Northern Colorado team and then destroying Northridge.
I like this New Mexico State team. I'm sold. I'm a little sad because the schedule's so soft.
Yeah.
But I watched the entire game at Kansas on the 8th. And, I mean, this kid from Spain, I hope I don't butcher his name, but it's Ivan Arachea. Anyway, I'll work on that one. But he's phenomenal. That guy, he didn't make any mistakes. He passed the ball. He shot the ball when he was open. And they've got a complete team. I think they're very dangerous to play. And that's probably why a lot of big schools refuse to play them.
Yeah. Well, their strength of schedule numbers are solid though at 33. I mean, it's kind of a almost a fake strength of schedule numbers because you don't see big names there, but I guess it's just the tier four stuff is the top of tier four. These are all those tier four wins may end up being tier three at the end of the season. That's
yeah. New Mexico is a team that they just got another Carlton Bragg just came back. So that's a team that could actually get a lot better as the year goes on. And Aggie fans, even though they're the rivals with the Lobos, will need to be rooting for them to get the resume better. But yeah, I think this team is really good, and I just wish there was a couple better resumes in the WAC for them to be able to had some more evidence of that. Because when you watch them, I mean, it's hard to find teams from power leagues that you would consider bubble that you can flat out say is better than this team.
Yeah, David, there's Grand Canyon on the right. They were a team that we did like heading into the season, but they just didn't do much non-conference.
Yeah, they had their chances, and they played well in some of those games, but didn't win any of them.
At San Diego left still, so they have one more chance to do something here. But let's take a look at the upcoming schedule in the WAC before we move on to our top 10s. And what do we got there? We got New Mexico State Drake. We mentioned that one already, and a bunch of other games.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Making the rounds in Illinois.
Yep, there we go. Let's go over to the top 10 list. Rocco, I know you didn't get a chance to vote this week, but I'll let you comment on our results and see if you like what we did or not.
Okay.
But honorable mentions, these are teams.
We need more voting. Jeez.
Yeah, we got a lot of ties again this week. But before teams that did not quite make the top 10, Louisiana Tech, North Texas, Citadel, and NJIT.
I wonder who voted for the Citadel.
Yeah.
I had a number 10, and David screwed things up by not voting for them. But coming in at number 10 is that Old Dominion team that we talked a lot about in the Conference USA section.
Yep. Well deserved.
We got three teams that are tied for seventh. I'll put all three of them up here at the same time. Hopefully, if this works, at least one of them. We've got Stony Brook. I note that some of the voting was done before the game lost.
Yeah, I would have probably dropped them out and put lot there.
You put College of Charleston in. How about that?
Yep.
College of Charleston and Toledo as well in that list. And our fifth place tie here, we've got both UC Irvine out of the Big West we started the show off with,
yeah,
and that Penn Quakers team.
Ooh, okay. You must have liked Penn.
I do like Penn.
Yeah.
Why don't you like Penn?
I do. I voted for them.
At number four, we had Lipscomb out of the A-Sun. Number three, Murray State. We discussed how much we like them in the OVC.
Yeah.
And number two... Number two, New Mexico State. We just discussed them.
Yeah, that's who I had.
And then we had a two-way tie for first place, actually. One of those two teams was, of course, there they are, the Belmont Bruins. No surprise there, right?
Right.
And, correct. Of course, David, I know that the other team that tied for Belmont is...
I'm kind of course, look at that! Wow! Horse racing strength coach.
And you know what, David? He even sent you a very special message tonight.
Oh, yes.
did you hear me comment on you having 11 teams?
Happy holidays to everybody from George Mason strength and conditioning coach Handy Hander. You even got the Santa hat on.
Yes, we do. We're going to get him on the show one of these days.
On that note, let me pull this down here and go to each of you for any of their final thoughts. Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, I
if you can follow that.
Yeah. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to Mr. Handy. I'd just like to say that you know, it's great that we're this far along, a week away from Christmas time, and then New Year's right after, and we've still got a good chunk of under the radar, and even teams from not usually getting more than a bid league like WCC and some others that are well within the realm of getting a bid. Next couple weeks are going to be critical because after that, the non-conference opportunities will pretty much be eliminated. So excited to see what we got coming up, and great week for Old Dominion.
Yes, David.
Last year we had no one from an under-the-radar conference inside the bubble. It's not that just that – We had no one inside the bubble or really even on it. The year before, I don't remember. I know Middle Tennessee should have been, but ended up on the 12 line. This year, with both Furman, I don't know if Furman's got the staying power, but with Buffalo way up there and with Belmont and having the kind of year they're having, don't be surprised. I don't know, like, if we're going to see multiple bids, but I think we're going to see multiple under-the-radar teams inside the bubble to where – if they lose in the conference tournament, they'll still be up there. So it's been kind of a fun year in as far as that goes.
Yes, it has been. And I do want to echo what Handy Hinderhand said to everybody, and do want to wish everybody a happy holidays and have happy, safe holidays out there. And I know we will be back right before, I think Sunday night, we're going to be doing our Hoops HD report. This is our last Under the Radar before the holidays. Yeah. And who knows, we'll be doing an Under the Radar, I think, sometime next week. Who knows?
Yep.
But on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs, and Handy Hand Durahan, I am Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we will talk to you again real soon.